It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As the pandemic enters its third year, the United States continues smashing previous records for the most daily new cases of COVID-19. On Wednesday, it topped 488,000. That's nearly twice that of the worst days from last winter, according to the New York Times. Wednesday also set a new record for the seven-day average of new daily cases, 301,000, up from 267,000 the day before. Dr. Michael Osterholm, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, warned over the next 3 to 4 weeks, we are going to see the number of cases in this country rise so dramatically that we're going to have a hard time keeping everyday life operating. In New York City, emergency responders are being inundated with 911 calls for fevers and coughs amid one of the worst COVID-19 outbreaks in the country. Reports that daily calls about COVID-like symptoms have doubled since the beginning of the month, even as some 30% of the city's 4,400 emergency workers called out sick on Wednesday. More than 110,000 New Yorkers have tested positive since Christmas Day. Wednesday set a new city record of 39,591 new cases, and at least one local hospital is putting off elective surgeries due to the crush of patients. The New York City subway also suspended the service on two lines on Thursday due to COVID-related train crew shortages. Here in Florida, the governor is missing in action. The mayor of Orlando has been demanding that DeSantis come out of hiding and help the state through its highest number of cases since the pandemic began, again, now entering its third year.
Our residents, all Florida residents, should be outraged, and they should ask the question, now, where is our state? Where is our governor? Where is Ron DeSantis now? When was the last time you saw the governor do a press briefing regarding COVID-19?
After the CDC this week amended its isolation guidance, cutting in half the recommended isolation time for people who've tested positive for COVID-19 from 10 days down to 5, nurses are fighting back. They're denouncing the new suggested guidelines. The American Nurses Association released a statement saying, quote, this guidance is premature given what is known about the Omicron variant and tips toward economic needs as opposed to the health needs of nurses and other healthcare workers. Well, we got another verdict. Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted Wednesday on sex trafficking charges. She was found guilty on 5 of the 6 counts. Each charge carries a prison term of between 5 and 40 years. The 60-year-old Maxwell had been accused of recruiting girls, some as young as 14, to come to the homes of millionaire sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, where he then sexually abused them. The incidents took place in the 1990s and the early 2000s at Epstein's properties in New York, Florida, and New Mexico. Epstein died, reportedly by suicide, more than 2 years ago while in jail awaiting trial. Maxwell's attorneys argued that their client was taking the fall because Epstein was dead. The New York jury deliberated for 5 days before reaching the verdict. That leaves one of the three end-of-year trials of high-profile women still to be decided. Kim Potter, the former cop who allegedly mistook her service weapon for a taser and killed Dante Wright, was convicted on all charges, first and second-degree manslaughter, last week. So the fate of former Theranos CEO Elizabeth Holmes is the one remaining case still up in the air. The jury has been deliberating for 6 days after 14 weeks of testimony. And don't expect a verdict before New Year's. The jury is now on break until Monday. The 37-year-old Holmes is facing 11 criminal charges, alleging that she duped investors and patients by hailing her company's blood testing technology as a medical breakthrough, when in fact, it was just a scam. If she's convicted, Holmes faces up to 20 years in prison. Well, President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin speaking on a call Thursday afternoon amid tensions over Russia's military buildup on Ukraine's border. Putin reportedly requested the call, with National Security Council spokesperson Emily Horn saying that the leaders plan to, quote, discuss a range of topics, including upcoming diplomatic engagements with Russia. Biden reportedly plans to emphasize to Putin that in order to make real progress, talks must be held, quote, in a context of de-escalation rather than escalation. Putin apparently wants a legally binding agreement that Ukraine will not join NATO, but the U.S. and allies have so far refused. American and Russian officials plan to hold talks in Geneva on January 10th. And as we approach the first anniversary of the attack on the U.S. Capitol, on January 6th, Congressman Benny Thompson, who chairs the House Select Committee investigating the attack, has extended an invitation to House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy to speak with the committee. Chairman Thompson told ABC News, quote, "If McCarthy has information he wants to share with us and is willing to voluntarily come in, I'm not taking the invitation off the table." Those remarks came in response to an interview that McCarthy gave earlier this week when he said he doesn't have anything to add to the investigations, but, quote, wouldn't hide from anything either. Okay, well, then bring it on. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.